as in our armed forces. And this is a really, I like the fact that we live in a nation that honors veterans and the sacrifice, as James was just talking about. So I'd like to just take a moment and acknowledge those that have served in the military and our veterans of the armed forces. If you are, if you would stand right now, we want to just honor you at this time. And we want to say thank you. Stay standing. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for, and ladies, thank you for your service. Appreciate that. And for the sacrifice. I was just speaking to a veteran this morning, and they're, you know, dealing with some physical issues. And, you know, one of my all-time favorite vets, of course, is Joe Sparks. This is our first Veterans Day without Joe. And I was just thinking about him and all the things that, you know, he endured and carried with him, you know, just living through a war, especially the one he was in and the islands that he invaded, like Okinawa. That's a lot. So we owe all those folks a debt of gratitude, and it's a reminder, of course, of the suffering that Jesus went through to win the war of sin. And so if you are a veteran, and perhaps you're joining us live on Facebook, or you're here today, maybe you're a guest visiting for the first time, or maybe you're here every week, if you do have any issues that are going on in your life, perhaps that have been unresolved, maybe they have something to do with your military service, maybe they don't. We do have a ministry to veterans in particular that suffer from PTSD. And so if you or you know somebody that would need help with that, please contact the office here. Find Pastor Randy Foster, who himself served in the military with the U.S. Navy, or they can obviously contact myself, and we will get you connected and directed. And so we're glad for and thankful for the opportunity to be able to minister in that way. If you're a first-time guest here at HBF, we're glad that you're here as well, and we want to welcome you with a gift. Is there any first-time guests this morning? Just raise your hand, or if you brought someone, just raise your hand. We want to bring a gift to them this morning. Thank you for coming and being with us today. Brian, there's just one right up here. We are glad that you are here. And so, man, it was good to see Miles get baptized. And as we continue to just, you know, think about the sacrifice of veterans, I want to allow Ron Casson to come up. And for you guys that are vets and ladies that are vets, he's going to sing a song in honor of you. And so I want to go ahead and give him the floor and let him do that at this time. And we are glad that you're here with us this morning.
Standing on a hillside where the river meets the sea, white crosses without number line the fields of peace, and each one a silent witness staring back at me. And every cross a story of another place and time, young men thought it worthy to give their life for mine. And for the sake of honor left their dreams behind. And for the price they paid, I'm forever in their debt. The memory will not die, 'cause I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the ones who had to die. I will live what I believe, if for no one else but me. To remember, freedom's never free. On another hillside, just outside the city gates. The battle lines were drawn, his soldiers took their place. The father watched in silence as a cross was raised. Freedom drawing closer, he took his final breath. He drank our cup of guilt and took the sting from death. Heaven's finest soldier clothed in human flesh. And for the price he paid, I'm forever in his debt. The cross will never die, 'cause I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life for the glory of the one who had to die. I will live, live what I believe, if for no one else but me. To remember, freedom's never free. I will stay free, I will live free, I will die free. Stand and hold my head up high, I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live, live what I believe, if for no one else but me. I will remember, I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live, live what I believe, before no one else but me. I will remember, freedom's ever free. Freedom's never free.
It's a great song. Praise the Lord. What a great celebration of sacrifice. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9. That'll be our text this morning. We've been in the study of the book of Acts, and we've been looking at faithful men. What a great theme as we celebrate Veterans Day, and we think about many faithful men and women who have served our country. Now we're looking at faithful men who have served our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about divine appointments, and hasn't it been wonderful, even today, to hear about the divine appointments that James had at the hospital as he was visiting, and how God's using the situation with Dawn, and even in her difficulty, God's blessing her. Praise the Lord for that. And so, hey, Gage, good to see you, man. I just saw you there. Praise the Lord. And so God's doing a good work, and he's we've been talking a lot about having divine appointments and trusting God to give us those divine opportunities to share the gospel. Well, as we enter chapter 9 and get into verses 32 through 43 this morning, what we're going to see is that God is preparing Peter for a really big divine appointment in chapter 10. And I'm not going to give you all of that this morning, but God is working in his life to get him where he needs to go so that he can get the keys of the kingdom to the Gentiles in chapter 10. And this morning, I want to just talk to you about the need to be plugged in to the power of Christ. We need to have Jesus Christ's power actively working in our lives. And if we don't this morning, if you're here this morning and Jesus isn't actively working in your life, man, I pray that God would, you would leave here changed, that God would have a divine appointment with you today and that your life would be changed. So I want to just pick up in our text in the book of Acts chapter 9. And if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one from the seat rack in front of you. We've already put some Bibles together for you, and we put them in the seat rack, and you can turn to page 845, page 845, and you'll find yourself in Acts chapter 9. Look down into the verses and the little numbers next to the sentences and get down to verse 32, and that's where we will pick up our text this morning. And so if you would, just let's do this. Stand with me. You guys have been sitting for a little while and observing, and some of you veterans have stood a couple times, so it's just like the Army today, right? Just like the military. All right, so let's stand and acknowledge God's word. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, and he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda," which is Lydia today, is what they call that. "And there he found a certain man named Aeneas," actually, Aeneas is how that's pronounced. I'll get it right before we're done, "which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him," Aeneas, Jesus, Aeneas is how it's pronounced, darn it, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. "And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned unto the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows present, and the widows presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Heavenly Father, as we look at your text this morning, as we look at the word of God that you've given us, we pray, God, that you would help us understand, comprehend the importance of this passage in our lives today. Lord, that we would understand it in the context of history, that we'd understand it in the doctrinal context of what you're doing to get the gospel where it needs to go to the world and fulfill your mission, that we'd understand in a practical way our need, our desire that you have for us, Lord, to have healing in our lives and to be able to walk and have the fullness of your power in our lives and be a witness to those that are observing the things that we endure, that we go through. Lord, thank you so much for curing our sickness of sin, giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and allowing us to gather this morning freely in a country where we can talk openly about Jesus Christ, where we can open up our Bibles, where we can walk freely, we can serve you freely. Lord, we're so thankful for that liberty that's been purchased with the blood of men and women. It's been purchased, Lord, ultimately by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, but a new creature. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we are free from the law of sin and death this morning. And even if we die, Lord, we do not cease to exist. We go on forth, and our inheritance is secure, and it's set in Jesus Christ. We thank you for those promises. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the hope that we have in Christ. And I pray, Lord, a special blessing on the reading, the hearing, and the application of your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that when you have something that's electrical in nature, you have to plug it in? All right, that's the ABCs of life, right? You know, like the cell phones and all those things. And you got to have power, don't you? You got to have power to plug those things in. Most of us are dependent on our smartphones and several other things, like the lights in this room. You take the lights out in this room, no power in this room, and it's dark. You know, we've had a service one time. How many were in the service where we had no power? I'm just curious. So a small portion of you, that was a fun day, wasn't it? And we improvised, adapted, and overcame. But it was hard to see that day, and we got through it. But, you know, you get to where you kind of depend upon power. It's kind of nice to have power. You know, I keep a car charger in my car. It's plugged in the cigarette lighter. And so I got to take it out all the time to light my cigarettes. No, I'm just kidding. I don't smoke. But anyway, so I keep it plugged into the cigarette lighter. And then I've got one at home plugged in my bedroom. And then I've got, you know, in my bag, in my backpack, I got cords and chargers just in case I'm in that spot where, you know, I need a charge and I don't have enough power. So I got to, that's important that I'm, that my phone is charged and I can use it. That's terrible. I'm confessing it before you. But that's kind of how dependent I am on that electricity and how important I think it is to be able to get a charge when I need it. Well, this morning, I pray that church is like that for you, you know, that you keep the Word of God handy, that you keep yourself in fellowship with the believers. Why? Because you need a charge, right? You need to be powered up by the Holy Spirit of God. You got Him in you, but every once in a while, when you get together with the saints, we're commanded to do that weekly. Why? Because we need to get charged. Then we get together on Wednesday night, and we get charged. And literally, the Word of God comes forth as a, what's the Bible call it? Charge, right? Paul gives Timothy a charge in 2 Timothy 4. So we need to be charged up. We need the power that God provides, or we won't function properly. And that's really what we see in the text that we just read this morning. We saw that there was a man that didn't have power to walk, right? He didn't have any power to walk. So our text, it shows how Peter goes up and like a power cord, you know, he walks up to this man who's got a disease. And, you know, this morning there's some people in the room, I suspect, that you're not running on full power. And perhaps your walk with Christ this morning, as I begin the message, you're just honestly, you can't walk with Him very well today. Because, well, it's not that, maybe you're not saved. That's one reason. Maybe you haven't been born again. Maybe you're crawling. Maybe you need some spiritual food and some nurturing so that you can learn to walk. But others of you that were like this man that had 8 years of walking experience, he had more than that. He was a grown man. He had been on a bed for 8 years. He had walking experience previous to that. He was able to walk, but now he finds that he's lame for 8 years. It's possible that somebody could even be here this morning, and you're born again, you're a Christian, you have had a walk with God, but you know what? You have not walked with Him for years, and you're lame. That'd be sad, but you know what's awesome? You're in a place to get plugged in. You're in a great place this morning to get plugged in. And then there's the power to live. We need power to live, don't we? Perhaps you're dead this morning. The Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 2 how we've been quickened, brought to life. We got the power of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1 that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, you get plugged into Christ, you get quickened, you get brought to life. Your dead soul gets raised, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Maybe this morning you're here, and that's what you need this morning. You need to get plugged into Christ. You need to be born. You must be born again if you want any power. You've got to be born again. You can't do spiritual things in the power of the flesh. It's a spiritual charge that you need, and that charge is Christ. Perhaps you need the power to believe. You know, in each one of these cases, as each person was empowered by the ministry of Peter, they were brought up in a way that whether they sat up as Tabitha or they got up and walked, right, as the man that was lame, they ended up being in a situation where people saw them and it changed their relationship with God. They believed. Maybe you need the power to believe this morning. Maybe you haven't seen any real authentic Christianity in your purview. Or maybe you're so carnal you haven't looked for it. But God is at work, man. He's doing some things. He's doing great things. And we need to have our eyes open. We need to have our spiritual understanding quickened so that we can believe what the Word of God says. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then others of us this morning, we may need power. This sounds like an oxymoron. But we need power to rest. As we wrap up the text that we read, we see that Peter finds himself in a situation in Joppa, not Jerusalem. Why? Because he's been persecuted. But while being persecuted, he's been moving around, right? He's went to all quarters, the text says. He's been sharing the gospel. We know Philip's been out sharing the gospel. Now you got Paul who's in the mix, and God's working with Paul, God's working with Peter, And the Bible says that, and it came to pass, right? Peter was moving from quarter to quarter. He was going about doing the Lord's business, and he wasn't in Jerusalem any longer. And we find him settling at the end of this chapter 9 in a place called Joppa. And God's got a big plan for him in the next chapter, but you're going to have to wait to get to that. Before he calls him out to open another door to help shift another gear in the transmission we call the book of Acts, in the differential of the Bible here that gets us from the Old Testament to the New Testament, right? What he does is he says, okay, Peter, I'm going to set you down here in Joppa because we're getting ready to do a big transition. And you're going to be a part of it. And so you need the power to rest because the next step that you're going to take is a big one. Some of you need the power to rest this morning because God's got big things in your life and you got to trust him and him alone. He's got things for you to do, and you can't do it in your flesh. You got to do it in the power of God. So I've already preached my sermon. Amen. Let's go home. Let me break this down for you in the time that we've got left, and then we will get out of here. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is our need to walk in Jesus' power. And you'll see if you have a, I don't know what if you have an Oxford or a Cambridge or what type of Bible you have here this morning, but in my Oxford wide margin, you got that little funky symbol next to the 32, verse 32, that's a paragraph mark. This thing lays out really nice with the paragraph marks. From verse 32 through 35, what you see here is just that little story of this man, Ahenius is how it's actually pronounced properly. His name means laudable. This is a guy that, you know, laudable is somebody that we were like, man, that's a great guy. He's laudable. He's somebody that's promotable. That's someone that we would give honor to. But Peter, he doesn't know him. Peter's not met this man. And this man, when Peter meets him, is not living up to his name because he's not laudable. He's lame. You know, isn't that something? When we get saved, we take on the name Christian. We took on the persona. You are in Christ. Therefore, the common vernacular to this day, all the way from the book of Acts, is they were first called Christians, right? So we assume the name of Christ. Is that laudable? Absolutely. But the truth is, many people who have that name, who bear that awesome name of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, are just lame. They're lame, man. They're not walking with God. They're laid up, man. They're stuck. I've even had people in Christ who claim to be empowered by the Spirit of God get in positions where they come and they say, man, Brian, I am, and they'll use that word, I'm stuck. You know what they're saying is I'm lame. And I'm not saying that to diss on them, and I would never tell you who they are. My point is simply this, as Christians, let's just be honest, aren't there times in our life where we just feel stuck? You feel lame. You're like, God, I need some power so I can walk. So Peter, how does he run into this guy? Well, Peter finds this guy, not by looking for him, but by obeying the Lord. Now, we've been talking about divine appointments for the last several weeks. This is another series of divine appointments. Peter is in motion. If you're actively wanting to have a divine appointment, you got to get in motion, man. You got to get moving. You're not gonna find what God wants by just sitting around. I discipled a guy one time. He's a wonderful guy, and he's in motion now. But he was one of those guys that just, he had a lot of faith. But sometimes I just like, hey, dude, you can pray all day about getting a job, but if you're going to get a job, you got to go. You got to get out and try, man. You got to move. God's not just going to call up on the phone and say, disciple, I have a job for you. Man, you've been watching The Matrix too long. You got to do something, man. You got to get out and get moving because there's a divine appointment waiting so we can get you connected. You got to make an effort. Peter's out moving around for Christ. Now, no doubt there's persecution in Jerusalem. Things are transitioning. But while he's moving, God provides Peter an opportunity to meet a lame man and put him in motion. You know, sometimes we're moving so fast, we miss that, don't we? I know I do. You're moving and grooving and going. You don't even realize. It's just who you are. Praise the Lord, because God's working in your life. Don't take that for granted. Because not everybody who names the name of Christ is able to move. And not everybody who names the name of Christ is even alive. You got some people that aren't even saved. You got other people that even though they're saved, they've allowed sin and bad decisions and carnality to cloud their vision. Sometimes they can't move because they can't see. Other times they can't move because, well, they won't preach the gospel. Their feet aren't working for God. Haven't preached the gospel in years. Haven't shared Christ with anybody. Why not? I don't know. You need to be plugged into Jesus' power this morning. So Peter's in motion. We see that in verse 31. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down unto the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Now, Peter was in motion when he came to Lydda, or Lydia, as I mentioned. It's 9 miles from Joppa, where he'll rest at the end of the chapter. And God has gone before Peter, and God has prepared this man because God has a mission. He's already heard it, right? So Peter should kind of know. God is going from Jerusalem to where? Judea, right? Jerusalem, Judea to where? Samaria. And then where's he ultimately going to take these guys? Othermost parts of the earth, right? And we've seen that he's not just taking the 12, right? He's taking the deacons. And now he's not just taking the deacons. He's taking every disciple, right? And he's involving everybody in this mission. And that's exactly what he is doing, is he's expanding out. So Peter is just following the Spirit of the Lord, and he's going forth in obedience. And that's what we do, isn't it? This last week, we had people in our church just follow the Lord to where God was working. And they went up to Maple City Baptist Church, a whole posse of people on the mama team. And they went up and, oh man, they worked with kids all week long. They invested their lives in people's children. And they invested in a church. And what was going on in that church? Well, God was working. They put themselves in motion so they could get in on what God was doing. And they could be empowered to be part of God's program of getting the gospel here in Cass County, here in our metro area, up to Monmouth, Illinois, and ultimately get it out to the world. Do y'all know we're in a church? That's what we do. Why? Because that's what God told us to do. And by the way, as we're looking at this text, you'll notice that the word saints is mentioned. This is the second mention of that word in the book of Acts. The first mention is in verse 13 of the same chapter. In Acts 9, verse 13, that remember that rebellious verse? Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. Because Saul, was a persecutor of the saints in Jerusalem. That's the first mention of the word saints. This is the second mention. Peter's looking for saints. You know the devil's looking for you, and God is too. There was somebody out to persecute the saints, and there was someone out to help the saints. Peter finds the saints, and he's there to help them and encourage them because times are hard. And then we have this gentleman that he has made privy to. Here's as the text tells us, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas. Again, his name is laudable, a man who at one time may have lived up to his name, but now is found discarded, dependent upon others, bound to a bed for 8 years. And it was a time for this man to have a new beginning in his life. Perhaps today you've been dependent upon others for too long. Instead of being a victor, you've become a victim. Instead of really believing what the Bible says and believing that you have power in Christ, all the circumstances, all the other things have overwhelmed you, and you just quit. And you're like, I can't do it. Others can do it, but I can't. And today the Lord is coming to you, and he's encouraging you, and he's stirring you up in your spirit. If you're truly born again, hey, listen, it is time to rise up and walk. You don't need to crawl around like a baby all your life. Spiritually speaking, we're in a season at HBF where we're focusing on discipleship, and we're getting ready to, this next year, we'll be talking more about discipleship. There's some people, maybe under the sound of my voice, that you're born again and you're young in the Lord, but you hear this preaching and you hear this teaching and you hear all this stuff, and it's like, man, Brian, these concepts are things I'm having a hard time with. Man, I could encourage you to just get with somebody, get a hold of me, get a hold of your adult Bible fellowship pastor. Get with them, and they will help get you with somebody who can feed you the Bible in a way that you can naturally strengthen up. God does grow us up to where we can walk. But this man, he's already been there. He's been through D1. He's been through D2, man. Maybe he's been through HBI. And still, he's laying there for 8 years, lame. Beloved, there's people that have come to this church, this very church, and got all we've had to offer, gone through all the knowledge transfer you could want, even had life transfer, even had fruit in their life, even grew up and walked, and then you look at their life, and they're lame. And they're not preaching the gospel. They're not sharing their faith. They're not growing. They're not growing anybody else. They're not investing what God put in them. They're lame. It doesn't stop the church. It doesn't stop the forward motion of God's ministry. But it hurts them at the judgment seat of Christ because they haven't availed themselves of the power of God. And you know what they really need? This is when it comes to us. They need somebody in the body to kind of recognize, man, that guy should be walking. What's going on with him? That gal should be walking. What's going on with her? And we need to reach out to him and say, hey, have you not forgotten that Jesus took care of that on the cross? And it's the power of God that gets you up to walk and help get them back where they need to go. Now, some people just want to stay lame. That you can't help those folks. But I got a feeling this guy had a desire to walk. He'd been there long enough. 8 years was enough. And when Peter walked up to say, hey, would you like to walk again? I'm sure this guy was like, sir, yes, sir, please. I'm ready to go. Maybe this morning you're ready to go. You need the power of Jesus in your life so you can walk. You know, it's a time for a new beginning. You know, in Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, I say then. I love the way Paul says that in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know what's so crazy about Paul is he hasn't lived in an era. I mean, he evidently, Paul didn't know that there were excuses. I mean, how arrogant of it is Paul to just tell the church, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But Paul, wait a minute. You don't understand my background. You know what? Paul doesn't even care about your background. Paul, you don't understand what I've been through. Well, guess what? I don't understand. Paul may not have understood what you went through, but you know who does know what you've gone through? Yeah, that's right. Jesus does. And he does care. He cares deeply about you. He cares so much that before you were even born, he understood the implications of sin. He understood the implications of all the pain and the damage and all the wicked blackness that sin causes on our lives, on innocence, on all the wicked scenarios we could imagine, invent, and experience. And Jesus brought a solution through Jesus Christ so that Paul could say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can walk if you have the Spirit of God in you. You can walk in the Spirit. And Paul doesn't give you an out. He just says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that wild in our culture? Don't we want some wiggle room somewhere? Don't we want an excuse there? Well, wait, I got to get my victim card in here, Paul. There has to be a reason why I can't walk. Paul says, no. You can walk if you want to. You can dance if you want to. So, all right, that's another discussion. But Jesus Christ makes us whole. Acts 9:34. He makes us whole. In the text there, it says, and Peter said unto him, Ahenas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. It's not your want to alone, it is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that makes us whole. And then Peter says, arise. He has to make an attempt. And guess what he's going to find? In the power of Jesus' name, he's able to rise up and walk. He arose immediately and began to walk. It was supernatural. Christ has the power. We simply need to stand, don't we? The Bible tells us to stand, therefore. He gets up and walks. There was no rehab time, just like the account in Acts 3, 7 through 8. We already covered that. I won't rehearse it. But remember that dude? Paul walks up, Peter walks up, gold and silver have I none. But what I'll have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk, or rise up and walk. And the dude pops up. And not he just doesn't pop up. He starts doing a jig, man. He's dancing, he's leaping, he's going after it. And everybody in Jerusalem says, whoa. Why? Because God needed a witness of his power in Jerusalem. You know, there are people here today. You know how God is. He's so good. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, Verse 20. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Right? So this guy's been lame for 8 years. And you might think the devils are going, ha, we got that dude. But in one moment, the power of Jesus Christ sets this guy free, and what was lame for 8 years becomes a Jesus magnet. Man, you might be lame in your life, but one decision could turn you from being lame for 8 years to a Jesus magnet. All of a sudden, he's in play, and all of a sudden, everybody there is saying, whoa, I want to believe on Jesus because this guy's walking. That's why God has given us the ministry and the word of reconciliation. Because people desperately need to see victory, don't they? They need to see the miraculous. They need to see people's lives that are absolutely changed. And there's no explanation other than that's Jesus. He did that in their life. He's the one that healed them. He's the one who made them whole. He's the one that gave them the ability to walk. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lift up those holy hands and praise Jesus, because he's the one with the power. Jesus makes us whole. It's his power. He gives us that power to stand. Some of you in here today probably need to walk. There might be a lame Christian in here today that just needs a decision. You've already heard the command, Galatians 5:16. I'll say it again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. But Brian, I like this, I like that. No, your flesh likes this and that. The Spirit says, get up and walk. Receive that word and see what happens to your flesh. Take the Bible over your experience every time. Your walk or lack thereof, this is the problem that I have, that you have, that we have, because we love our flesh. We like the get out of jail card. I don't want to walk in the Spirit. I want to lay in my bed. I'm like that in the morning, man. This morning, I was like, man, I want to lay in my bed. My flesh likes to sleep on. But you got to say, no, I got spiritual work to do today. We got to get up and get going. Walk. Rise up and walk. God created Adam to impact the lives of others, didn't he? Your walk or lack thereof impacts other people. That lame man, his life was going to be used of God one way or another. People were going to walk by and see a man dependent on others, or they were going to walk by and see a man empowered by Jesus. They were going to walk by and see a person who was static, who was never changed. You ever seen someone with the root of bitterness? They never move. Whatever the offense was, it's that offense is still there 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years. They never move. They can't forgive. They're stuck. That's just where they are. Versus when you see the Spirit of God working in someone's life, what do you see? You see a liberation. You see freedom. You see people that are, well, they're on the move. They're walking with Jesus. They have love. They have joy. They're going forward in faith. Life is not what stuck them behind. Life is where they're going because they're on mission for God. God created Adam to walk in his power and his light in Genesis 1:26. That's why God created Adam. He wanted him to walk with him, to represent him, to illuminate his kingdom, to be the firstborn. He was created, but he was going to have reproduced people, seed that was perfect until, of course, sin was found in him. God created Adam to walk in the garden with him in the cool of the day. God called Jacob to walk in his power and in his light. In Isaiah 2:5, the nation of Israel, his seed, was supposed to walk with the Lord. And God will someday cause the nations in Genesis 21:24 to walk with him literally in the light of Christ. That's going to happen on this earth. So today he's calling us to walk in the light and illuminate others with the power of Christ. So this is what happens. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's what Peter did, right? So Peter is walking in wisdom, and he walked toward somebody that needed to be redeemed, and he didn't waste his time. He dealt with the matter at hand, and that man was able to get up and walk. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you know that walking in the Spirit is a decision that we make? I've given you two verses from Galatians 5 that show evidence of that, based in the English grammar. Walking in the Spirit is a decision that a believer in Christ makes. Therefore, walk in the Spirit. And 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, if we choose to walk in the light, but walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what Peter was doing? He was doing exactly what Jesus did. Jesus healed the lame. And we're fixing to see another example of Peter following the Lord and patterning and taking his life and following exactly what Jesus did. You know what Jesus wants to do in our lives? The same thing. He wants to use us as ministers of grace. He wants to use us, everyone, everyone under the sound of my voice. Even if you're lost, that's God's plan for your life. He wants to redeem your life and use you in His kingdom to bring grace to this planet, to bring a message of hope, a message of love, a message of power that sin and death cannot possibly wreck His purposes for every soul on this planet, unless we allow it, unless we reject the author of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know who He is, right? And He's a rewarder then that diligently seek Him. You're not going to get in some other way. As the old spiritual says, right? He's so wide you can't get around Him. He's so high you can't get over Him. So low you can't get under Him. What do you got to do? You got to go in at the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the power of Jesus Christ, we need the power of Jesus to walk, but we also need to live in Jesus' power. In verses 36 through 41, we saw the example of this woman. Tabitha, also interpreted Dorcas. Ha, ha, ha. Before you laugh too far, that word Dorcas is it just means doe, right? Like a deer. It's deer season. So, I was going to say Bambi, but I don't think that's right gender-wise. But anyway, a little doe. She's like a doe, but she's a lovely lady. And as we saw in the text, she's a wonderful woman. She serves the Lord. She's got good works. I mean, she's a person of faith. As a matter of fact, look at the text here. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain, check this out. Are you looking? What's it say? Disciple. Whoa, I thought the Bible was misogynistic, man. I mean, isn't the Bible about people overlording women and stuff like that? Well, that's why you came. Get out of here. All right, no, it's not. It's the disciples have even expanded now. It's not just the 12. It's not just some faithful men. It's faithful women. Discipleship has expanded. The definition of a disciple is out here to Dorcas, a.k.a. Tabitha. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Man, she is a good woman. We see the power of Jesus, by the way, in every gender. Discipleship is not gender specific, by the way. Even though it says faithful men that can train, teach others also, women are included in that. Pastors and deacons, obviously, are to be men in the church. That's the way the Bible's ordered it. And women are to bless a marriage as a wife, right? Women are not supposed to bless a marriage as a husband as well. Husbands are not supposed to bless a marriage as a wife. That used to be self-evident by anatomy. I know we got to explain these things in the 21st century. But God has it all set up. But everybody can be a disciple. Everyone can be a disciple. This woman also, she had a really good past, full of good works, alms deeds, nothing negative noted about her life. In Proverbs chapter 20 or 31, she reminds me of the virtuous woman. Listen to this. You guys have heard this before, but as you look at her life in the text, you're like, wow, this lady, I think we could call Dorcas a virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, the Bible says, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, right? Alms deeds. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her house, for her household. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. What are they doing down there in verse 39? They're looking at all the things that she made. Look at all the coats that she made. Look at all the clothing that she's produced. She was clothing people. She was covering them. A picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ covers us in the blood. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's like royalty. Everybody loves Dorcas. She is just an incredible woman. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant, and strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, sometimes you just lose pillars in the church, don't you? Man, the whole body of Christ, especially the women's ministry, they're over there going, oh, Peter, this is terrible. Man, we love this woman so. Look at all the things that she's made. They're lamenting it. They're rejoicing in who she is. What an incredible thing. And yet, man, she's gone. They called Peter to this. Why? Because they needed comfort. Just like when they called Jesus went to see Lazarus in John 11. Just like when the synagogue leader's child, his daughter, was dead. He says, oh, that's okay. My daughter's already died. Jesus is like, wait a minute. Now I can do something. Now I can do something. And he healed that girl in the book of Mark. Also in the book of John. She too was sick and died. You know, good works are good. Especially if you're saved. We're saved unto good works. There's no doubt about that. But we know good works won't save us, will it? It's sad when good Christians get sick and die. She got sick. You notice the other man, he got sick with the palsy. One of the things we have to guard, you know, in this season of the year is sickness, right? Sickness spreads. We need to make sure that we don't get sick. In Hebrews 12:15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. This didn't happen in Dorcas's life, Tabitha's life, but it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know how you get sick oftentimes? Not always, but oftentimes you get sick because of others. There's some things that can spread and make you unhealthy. Do you have healthy relationships, or do you have unhealthy relationships? Are you fostering healthy relationships or unhealthy relationships? Dorcas may have died physically, but you know what she was bringing to the folks down there in Lydda? She was bringing life. She was bringing life. I'm sorry, Joppa. She was in Joppa. But she was bringing life to the people of Joppa. And by the way, that was a key city. That's the city that, remember Jonah? He was running. When he was trying to get away from God, he went to Joppa. God planted someone like Tabitha there, Dorcas there, so she could minister to all those saints, those disciples there at Joppa. What really mattered in her life is that she needed power to be raised. It doesn't really matter what your illness is. The reality is there's only one person that can raise us from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ. Sin, the curse of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And there's only one man, Christ Jesus, who can raise us from the dead. In Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past you walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. According to the prince and power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom the truth is, we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Spiritual death touches all of us. But you know what? You can be a change agent, like Peter, and bring people to life. When Jesus said greater works than these, he wasn't talking about what Peter's doing here in chapter 9. He's talking about what Peter's going to do in chapter 10. But Peter here is going to raise her from the dead, and he follows the same pattern as the Lord Jesus Christ. He approached her to pray. He was available the day that he was called upon. He gets everyone out of the way, right? He listens to him and he says, okay, get out of here, guys. I'm gonna get alone. Jesus did the same thing in Mark chapter 5 with his disciples. Then he prays. He kneels and he prays. And then he speaks to Tabitha. And wouldn't you know, she wakes up. He takes her by the hand and has her stand up. And then he presents her to the saints. And everybody can see and celebrate what God has done. That's exactly what Jesus did in Mark 5:35. It says, while he yet spoke, this would be a leader of the synagogue, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he has suffered, right? He allowed no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. If you go back to Mark chapter 5 and watch what Jesus did, it's exactly what Peter did. Let me rephrase that. Peter did exactly what Jesus did. He followed the pattern that was before him. You know, if you want to lead someone to Christ, all you got to do is the same thing that happened with you. You just got to take the Bible and share it with somebody, help them understand the gospel, and have them and give them an opportunity to believe what the Bible says about their sin, who Jesus Christ is, and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You'll be surprised. They'll just rise up and walk. If they're truly born again, Jesus will do that work in their life. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, do you have fruit in your life? If you're going to be like Jesus, you will. There'll be fruit. There'll be life. There'll be people's lives that are changed because of your walk and because of your life. The power of Jesus Christ, we need it to walk. We need to walk in Jesus' power. We need to live in Jesus' power. But we also need to believe in Jesus' power. Jesus did these miracles through Peter so the Jews could what? Look at verse 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. That's a lot like what we see at the end of verse 35. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him, and they turned to the Lord. In one verse, they're turning to the Lord. In the other verse, they're believing. They're turning to the Lord and believing. They're trusting in Jesus' sufficiency for salvation and his power alone. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe not in his name. What's it say? On his name. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So to believe in something, you believe that's a stool? I believe that's a stool. Do you believe Jesus lived? Oh, I believe Jesus lived. But now, I'm believing on this stool. I'm trusting it. You can know Jesus lived, that he died and rose again. The question isn't, do you intellectually understand that? The issue is, are you trusting him and him alone for your salvation? You need to believe on him. There's no other person to trust. You can't trust me to get you to heaven. You can't trust your sweet mama. You can't even trust your sweet grandmama that raised you up in the church. Those are great people. Those are great things. But there has to be a point in your life where you say, you know what? That's not just everybody else's stool. I'm taking my spot. I'm believing on Jesus. I'm putting my faith in everything he did. I'm trusting him and him alone. Woo-hoo! Now I'm flying. All right. You got to believe upon the name of the Lord to be saved. God wants to resurrect dead lives. You know why he wants you to trust Christ? So others will too. I can say all day long, I believe in the Lord Jesus. But once I trust in him, once I put my faith on him, you'll see it. Why? Because I have a change of heart and mind that produces a change of life. You see fruit. And hopefully that fruit remains. So we need to walk in Jesus' power, live in Jesus' power. We need to believe in Jesus' power. And lastly, we need to rest in Jesus' power. In verse 43, and it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa, the same city in which Jonah fled, to get away from God. So he didn't have to go to the Gentiles. It's the same city in which the Lord led Peter so that he could get rested up, so he could prepare to go to chapter 10, number of the Gentiles, and deliver the keys of the kingdom to the Gentiles of the world. Rest in Jesus' power because he's got more work for you to do. Peter will be using his keys, as I mentioned. But Peter can't do it alone, can he? He's going to bring up Paul. That's why it came to pass. Right? We're reading about Paul the first half of the chapter. Now we're reading about, or Saul of Tarsus. Now we're reading about Peter. Why? Because God needs all of us to do our part. He needs all of us to do our part. Peter doesn't know his next assignment, by the way. You don't have to know what God's called you to do tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. What you need to worry about is what God's calling you to do right now. Right now. He'll give you the plans as it goes. But he ends up at Simon the tanner's house. You know what Simon does? He tans hides for a living. You know, your mom used to say that, your dad, I'm going to tan your hide, right? So that was not a good place for a good, clean Jew to be. There's blood everywhere. It's not going to meet all the Levitical codes. But you know what? Peter's resting in grace. And he's content to be in a place that isn't like where he grew up. It's not as clean as the law demands, but his heart's right, and it's the place God led him. And it's the next right step for him, because God has a plan for him to go to the Gentiles in chapter 10. You see, what Peter's done is he's exchanged the yoke of the law of Moses for the law of Christ. He's replaced that with love, because Jesus already fulfilled the law of Moses. So now all he has to do is obey the law of love that Jesus Christ gives him. Now, that's not saying all things are lawful, you know, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, right? That's what Paul said. You can't do whatever you want when the whistle blows, or you're going to have bad fruit. You're going to get lame. You're not going to be able to walk. So we leverage our liberty so that we can love people. We use our liberty not as an occasion to the flesh, but by love we serve one another. And that's all he's doing. He's resting in what God has provided so he can make the next right step where God would have him go. You know what the Bible tells us? We've talked about the Great Commission all over the place here at HBF. You hear me talk about it all the time if you're here very long. And we'll even talk about the great commandment. You know, the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And you fulfilled the whole law. That's where the law's at. Loving people the way God does. And that's what Peter's doing. Maybe this morning you need to receive the great invitation. The Bible tells us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is, light. Walk in the light. Live in the light. Rest in the light. Jesus is calling all of us who are weary and need rest to simply come to him. Peter rests in Joppa. He rests in Joppa. Jonah ran from Joppa. You know what? After I say amen, some of you guys, you'll just run out of here. You think, man, you'll have whatever reason you're going to have. But you're not running from Brian. You're not running from any of that. You're running from Jesus. Some of you are going to rest. You're going to go, man, I got some promises I can go out and I can depend on. I can count on. You know where all that happens? What makes you lame, what makes you lifeless, or what makes you able to stand and makes you full of life? It all resides in the heart and how you respond to God's word. Don't run away. Run to Jesus. This week, God may have some work for you to do, some doors for you to open. Will you run from God, or will you rest in his plan? Will you trust him to make that next divine appointment? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We ask a blessing on the reading and the hearing. Lord, we pray this morning that we would not be powerless, but powerful. We pray, God, that you would empower us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, God, if there is one that needs to rise up and walk in Christ today, that the power of Christ would be available. Lord, I pray, God, you would quicken people and bring